Hey there, we're coming to you live from a hot and sultry NASDAQ market site. It's so hot, the guys back here need a moment to cool down. And while they're doing that, here's what's coming up in the show.
Crude may be done bubbling up. We'll tell you what has some traders so bearish. Plus, here's McDonald's plans to increase sales. We'll tell you why combos are the latest craze for the golden arches and how you can profit. And how would you like to buy Apple and spend nothing? Yep, nothing. We'll show you how. The action begins right now.
Let's get right to it because the S&P just had its best week in 3 months and flirting with all-time highs once again. If you missed the rally, what are the names and sectors you can play for a catch-up? Let's get in the money and find out. And Dan is taking a look at an offense-defense kind of trade.
Yeah, I think healthcare stocks are pretty interesting. You guys just had an interesting conversation about biotech stocks. There's some issues there, obviously, with valuation and the sort, and there's some really poor relative strength there. But I think if you go upstream a little bit to big pharma stocks, there's actually some really good performance there. There's actually some very reasonable valuations, and there's also some valuations relative to the growth that look pretty healthy, and there's also some very constructive technical setups that I think Carter would speak to. So I want to look at the XLV. This is what we're going to talk about. I know the guys were just talking about the XBI. The XLV is the healthcare select ETF. The top five holdings are companies like Johnson & Johnson, Bristol Myers, Merck, that sort of thing, things that act very well. And I think there's a potential for some of the other names to play a little bit of catch-up, Amgen, Biogen, some of the stocks that are well off of their 52-week highs versus those ones that I just mentioned. They're with a few percent from their 50-week highs, so maybe there's a catch-up.
How much of a weight is biotech?
Well, I mean, biotech, that's what's so interesting, because traditionally, I mean, the real key here is that traditionally this is a defensive area of the market. I mean, right, and that biotech has skewed all that. But in terms of what's really important here, at the top is the big pharma names. But what does act well, devices act well, healthcare facilities act well, managed care, UNH, and so forth. So you just need a little bit of play from some of the big biotech names, and this thing can, you know, lift.
And some of those companies actually, if you're taking a look at what the valuations look like, those are actually the cheaper names in the group right now. You know, the big cap names that you're talking about, the Johnson & Johnsons, those are the 2022 times multiple names, and it's the Celgenes and Gileads and things like that that are actually trading in the mid-teens and actually have much more growth potential. So from my perspective, you know, if they don't present a great deal of risk to the group, but they do offer a good potential tailwind.
Is part of your premise that biotech has actually found some sort of floor?
Could be. I mean, listen, I think it's really interesting. We've been talking now for, it seems like, almost a year about some of the regulatory issues. We know it's a really tough political environment here. We know that there's been some hiccups in M&A that have been driving a lot of the strength that before it topped out. I think it's really important to remember, the XBI, that's the S&P biotech ETF, is still down 37% from its all-time highs. But that XLV that we're talking about, which is obviously very heavy pharma, is only down 8.5%. So I think we're all speaking the same language here. If we see, we don't need the XBI, we don't need a lot of that biotech to really go on a massive ramp. We just need to start performing better. And then the ones that are acting very well perform, you know, to break out, basically, to new all-time highs, you know.
So what's your trade?
Yeah, so to trade very specifically in the XLV, and when you look at implied volatility, the price of options is very cheap. That makes a lot of sense for a whole host of reasons, but you could look out to July expiration in the XLV with the stock trading at 71, and just by the July 71 calls, paying $1.25 for those, breaks even at 72 and a quarter. That is your max risk, that $1.25. And really, the trade is here. You get a move back towards the highs in the XLV. That's about 5-7%, you know, that sort of movement. And if you think that the S&P is going to break out, I think you're going to have a lot of laggard sectors probably perform well into that breakout.
I mean, you mentioned device makers, Thermo Scientific announcing that acquisition. Both stocks performed well coming out of that. And so, you know, I take a look at this, and I actually like the trade. It's a good way to make a directional bet, not taking a lot of risk and taking advantage of cheap options here.
And it's just a flow. I mean, if there is momentum in the market, and money is always looking for the next thing.
Right.
They've done it with banks. You've done it with energy. You've even picked up certain industrials, rails. This is the kind of thing that the money's waiting to find something. It'll go here.
The last thing that you said, though, is that if you think the S&P is going to break out, your commentary recently doesn't indicate to me that you believe that that's going to be the case, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing, and we're going to know very soon. I mean, what I need to see in the S&P 500 is really establish a new range above those prior highs, and that would be somewhere above 2100. And really, the S&P needs to make a new high from that May 2015 high above.
And if you think there's downside risk, but you are concerned about the potential for a breakout, then calls right now are the way to play it. Not just in here, for that matter, because options prices are actually quite cheap. I think Tim was making that point earlier. You know, if you want to play for a breakout, long calls.
All right. Moving on here, crude breaking $50 a barrel this week for the first time in 8 months. But with a crucial OPEC meeting next week, the chart master here says now might be the time to take some profits. So, Carter, what are you looking at?
I think what's important is, of course, crude is, it has hit 50. But guess what? We're below where we were a month ago in S&P 500 energy. And that is to say that the stocks discounted this move. And now we have a situation where this is finally caught up. So I want to just look at a few things. There's a lot of rules of symmetry in markets, and let's just look at a few charts here and see what we can do. So, optically, quite symmetrical, yes? You could draw your lines this way. The double bottom, these various matches. I mean, literally, symmetry this way, symmetry this way, symmetry this way. 69 sessions down, 72 sessions back. Again, right back to sort of where you have this almost perfect V. And V bottoms are very rare, but if you do get one, you still get corrections typically. So, if this symmetry were to persist, what I think one can expect is a lot of backing and filling, or that would be to mirror this, or some backing away to mirror this. Now, if and as that were to happen, I think a reasonable price objective is that you come down to your 150 moving average. It comes back quite well in tests as to what measures trend. And so I'm thinking into the low 40s, and we're here at 48, 49, and it's not mysterious that it stopped at 50 and has started to struggle. Okay, let's move on to something that is a little bit unusual. Over the weekend when I was working on this, ExxonMobil, which I have here, is compared to the entire S&P 500 energy sector, orange, the entire S&P 500 energy sector equal weighted to eliminate the effect of Chevron, Exxon, and then all energy stocks in the Russell 3000, there are 168 of them equal weighted. And what I think optically is important is these have all dipped. They've actually down on the month. And yet Exxon has just continued on its own. Another way to juxtapose this, Exxon versus major other integrateds. So you've got BP, Royal Dutch, Total in France, all dipping or correcting in some way, and Exxon just unto itself. To me, this is the face of fear. It's generalists getting into a trade who maybe just have to be exposed. So I want to look at a long-term chart. This is fun. This is S&P 500 and S&P 500 earnings over the last 30 plus years, going back to just before the 87 crash. Look at the same chart for Exxon and its earnings. Market and its earnings, Exxon and its earnings. Even when we bottomed before, Exxon turned up as earnings turned up. This time, it's turned up, but earnings have not. So to my eye, I think what you're going to get here is a check back to your 100 moving average. And this bottom panel shows you that in the last 5 years, every time we've gotten more than 10% above the 100 moving average is where you back off. So we want to take profits in Exxon if you were smart enough to buy it off the low. We want to write calls, or we want to try it on the short side. Do something.
Exxon is the best manager in the integrated space. They have the lowest finding costs, the lowest lifting costs. They manage their capex better than anybody else. But to Carter's point, this is a company that since 2011 has seen its revenues fall by half. Its EBITDA has fallen by half. Its earnings have fallen by more than 70%. The valuation on an enterprise value basis is down 15% from its all-time high. That just doesn't seem to line up to me. And I agree with them. You know, crude is going to do whatever it's going to do, and it always goes farther and faster than you think it will, up and down. But I do think that right now you can take advantage of the situation that's setting up in Exxon by selling the July 90, 92.5 call spread. You can collect $1.10 by selling the 90 calls for $2.10, buying the 92.5 for a buck. You're going to collect that money if the stock stays right here, even if it rises just a little bit, and obviously if it falls back. This is a way to collect some premium, even if it just remains range-bound, but the upside certainly does look limited.
Is it time to take profits? I mean, we've been talking all week about this rotation that's been happening in the markets. Is energy one of those rotations?
Well, here, there's something more interesting going on here, Mel. You know, Carter really wants to play for a pullback. Mike really wants to sell cheap options to basically play for a consolidation. And there's a little bit of a divergence in thinking from what I can tell here. Hmm. I actually think from a technical standpoint, if you just took all the other mumbo jumbo out, yeah, I could see that. You know what I mean? What Carter's take is. And what Mike's saying is, I actually probably see this stock up or down a buck or two over the period of time that you're choosing. And that's actually a pretty good trade. Sometimes selling cheap volatility, cheap options is the right trade because this stock may be, you know, straddling 90 bucks.
Relatively cheap options, although you are collecting, you know, a pretty good relationship
of that.
The spread. The other issue, though, is I think the equity markets, to me, I haven't been quite as bearish as many have been. I do expect us to get a rate increase. That should be obviously hurtful to commodity prices, inclusive of crude.
Right.
So, you know, from my perspective, this is the way to play sideways.
The key thing is we know that equity markets discount.
By the way, guys, we're showing you this is a live shot of SpaceX rocket launch. So this is happening right now. Again, it's SpaceX. We're actually going to go to break, I think, right now. Got a question out there. Only one place to go, our website, optionsaction.cnbc.com. We've got great articles, cutting-edge tutorials. While you're there, sign up for the award-winning newsletter. We're over 100,000 right now. In the meantime, as you take a look at SpaceX's rocket launch happening right now, here's what's coming up next.
On its way to delivering the Titan 8 satellite to a geostationary transfer.
Something is happening with McDonald's menu, and it could send the stock higher. We'll explain. Plus, calling all Options Action fans, we're taking your tweets, so before you start your holiday, tweet us at Options Action, and maybe we'll read it on air. That's when Options Action returns.
Welcome back to Options Action. Memorial Day travel is on track to hit record highs, and fast food chains are pulling out all the stops. Making your Options Action debut is Susan Lee, who's in Ridgefield, New Jersey, with all the details. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Melissa. Yes, so we've spent the day here at Vince Lombardi Plaza, just off the New Jersey Turnpike, and we've been talking to families, individuals, and they are well on their way to their Memorial Day weekend holidays. Stopping by here at Vince Lombardi just for a break or so on their journey, and also to grab a bite to eat. So, yes, I have seen some lineups at the fast food offers. That includes Burger King. And let me show you what you can get for $4 at Burger King. This is what they call the five for $4 menu. And as you see, you can see, you can get a lot. So Burger King has the five for $4. McDonald's has the McPick 2. We have Wendy's four for $4. And these combo value meals are bringing in a lot of customers. 100 million extra meals has been sold so far in 2016. That's up 20% from 2015. In fact, it's so popular now that one in every three visits is to take advantage of these deals. And that's really helping the likes of McDonald's and Burger King. For instance, McDonald's just recorded some pretty impressive comp sales in the first quarter, up over 5%. Also, Burger King saw sales in the month of April up over 4%. And it makes you wonder about those companies that don't have these bundles options. Well, they're rethinking that too. For instance, now Starbucks, which is on the fast deals realm, but they're also thinking we need to bundle up our products and our meals. So they're offering an $8 power lunch. That includes a sandwich and a salad and some Ethos water. Then you also have TGIF that's now offering this $12 dine and drink menu that offers you an entree and an appetizer. And economically, you know, what's to say about the health of consumer spending in the U.S. if they're still opting for these cheaper options, these value options?
We're slowly moving away from that dollar price point. A lot of the things that we've seen are, you know, two for two and, you know, four for four. That ultimately, you know, raises the average check size. And so I think that you can start to see these meals prolong or proliferate over a longer period of time. I expect to see them out there for some time.
Yeah. So, Melissa, there you go. That's the story here from Vince Lombardi.
And, Susan, what was in that $5 combo extravaganza you had?
Okay, so you got two chocolate chip cookies, you got a bacon double cheeseburger, you got some fries, a large Coke, and, you know, what else did they offer? That was about it. I think that's all you needed, right?
I think that's plenty.
I couldn't eat anymore after that.
Susan, thank you. Susan Lee at Vince Lombardi Plaza. Carter's over the smart board checking in on the charts on McDonald's. Carter, what are you watching?
Yeah, well, so obviously this has been a great winner, which was not for a while, but it may be a bit too much of a good thing. Just to set it up, wow, yeah, 1974 to 2016, you've got McDonald's in blue, you've got the S&P. So I wanted to just zero in on the more recent activity. What we know is that this was a very fallow security, and it underperformed in 12 and 2013 and 14 and 15, and then classic charting, it broke out. So here's the range, and there's the breakout. Now, an old-fashioned term is something as a measured move. The width of the range, 85 to 105, $20, you tack on 20 to the top. So if you add 20 onto 105, right, you get roughly 130. And I want to show you exactly where the stock stops, hits its head, and this is key. Stock market has gone straight up for four or five successions. McDonald's not participating. Relative strength very poor. We've broken our trend line. We think maybe this is just too much of a good thing. Maybe they've finally priced in all-day breakfast. You've got to have good profits in this. Take them, and if you're a short seller, go after on the short side.
All right, so you got a bear
trade. Yeah, all-day breakfast, that's baked into the cake. I think the only thing in the high-growth markets, that's the real question mark. And, you know, we've basically seen flat revenues, flat EPS for 5 years. Now people are a little bit more optimistic. So what I would do is actually use the fact that options are relatively cheap here. You can buy the August 120, 115 put spread. That'll cost you $1.30, basically a very cheap way to make a bearish bet on this one.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, these guys have actually been kind of all over this. They were all over the breakout when it broke out last year. And, you know, trying to call a top is one thing at the very tippy top, but the thing is broken trend. And so I look at that. And I would make one point, Mike. When sales topped out, they were $28 billion. They're expected to be $24.5 billion. So you sell as much as you want at $1 or $2 price points, I think you're right. I think this all-day breakfast thing is in the stock.
All right. Coming up next, in the past month, Apple has added over $50 billion in market cap, and Dan has found a way to make just a little bit more. He'll explain when Options Action returns. Welcome back to Options Action. It's been a terrific run for Apple, and that's been great news for one of our traders, and here's why.
On Options Action, it's how we trade like tech titans. Risk less so we can make more, and that's just what Dan tried to do with his bullish bet on Apple. Dan thought Apple was about to bounce back, but 100 shares would cost $9,000.
Wow.
So to spend less, Dan instead bought the October 100 strike call for $250. Now to make money, Dan needs Apple shares to rise above $100 by more than the cost of the call, or above $102.50 by October expiration. But spending $2.50 just to bet on Apple? So to spend even less, Dan then sold the October 80 strike put for $2.50 and created his risk reversal. But he did something even better. He made making money easier, and here's how. Between the $2.50 he spent on the 100 strike call and the $2.50 he collected on the 80 strike put, Dan was able to put on his trade for nothing. That's right, nothing. And now Dan can see profits if Apple shares are just one penny above $100 by October expiration. Of course, nothing is for free, and in this case, there is a trade-off. Because Dan sold that put, he could now be obligated to buy the stock for $80, even if it falls well below that level. But since the time of the trade, Apple shares are up more than 11%, making Dan a big winner.
Yeah!
And Options Action fans across the world are flooding iTunes, and they only want to know one thing. What will Dan do next?
All right, let's get the answer to that right now. Dan, what are you doing?
Yeah, so the most important point from a risk standpoint is that you're naked short a downside put. Now that's way out of the money. That put that was sold at $250 a couple weeks ago can be covered for 85 cents. I think you do that here. And then this is really a riskless trade other than the difference between what you paid for the October 100 call, which was $250. Now that's trading for about $6. So you have some profits and you have some optionality, no pun intended here, or pun intended, I guess. But the thing is, you could actually take the profit. If you thought the stock was going to have continued gains, you could look to turn it into a vertical call spread, maybe sell the 110 call in October and have on the 100, 110 call spread. You could probably sell that for about $2.35. You're kind of locking in some of those gains too, and you don't have any risk to the downside. If you're really optimistic, you could sell a higher strike call also. So, you know, I mean, there's some stuff to do there.
We were talking about catch-up trades at the top of the show. Is this a catch-up trade?
This is the kind of thing that's going on. You're into the gap, right,
yeah,
of late May, and that would keep carry you to 105 were you to fill the whole thing.
Yeah, I think working your way into a calendar here is probably the best thing to do. I mean, I think we've had quite a run off the bottom. I actually like selling puts in Apple. I like selling around the 90, 92 and a half strike. So, you know, if it does pull back at all, I think you would actually lay back into that.
Well, that's a really important point. So what do we know about $90? We know that Berkshire Hathaway, that was kind of the level where they announced it. They own it much higher. So that's really important. But psychologically, I think people are going to have 90. And that was also the 2014 breakout level. And I would just make one point. I think when we said this at the time 2 weeks ago, the company did not buy any shares in accelerated stock buyback in the March quarter. That's what there was likely going on over the last couple weeks. They're the buyer. It looks like 90 is a good level, so maybe you sell that 90 put against that call.
All right. Up next, the final call from the options pick. Welcome back to Options Action. It's time to get your tweets. The first one is, is UVXY a bad way to purchase volatility? If you're in this name long, how long of a waiting period before selling?
One thing, if you are in this trade the wrong way, the one thing you don't want to do is wait before selling. And the reason is that this, like a lot of other ETPs that are based on futures, they have something called a roll cost, and so they tend to decay away. This is a good way to make a short-term bet, but not a long-term one.
All right, next one up, put options and rig July 10 strike puts. Ideas? Thank you. Love the show. Dan.
Well, here's the thing. So you're looking at July 10 puts. The stock's around 10 bucks. Those July 10 puts close at about a dollar. That's 10% of the stock price to actually have the right to sell it at $10 in what, 6 weeks or something like that? Doesn't seem like a great risk reward here. So earnings aren't until July 31st. It depends what your catalyst is, but this is probably not the best way to play it, not even for protection against long stock.
How are the charts looking?
It's sort of one of the, speak about energy stock that hasn't really bounced. I mean, this is really, and that's a tell. I mean, everything in energy's come to life. This hasn't. I'd stay away from it.
Yeah. Mike, your view on rig?
This is one of the areas that hasn't seen a comeback. I mean, it's going to be a while before we see offshore drilling in particular.
All right. So. Time now for the final call. Last one for this week. Carter.
Exxon up 36% off its low. Take profits. McDonald's starting to roll. Do something there, too.
Mike.
You know, I don't know which way crude is going, but I do know that Exxon is grossly overpriced, even at levels higher than the ones we currently have now. Just remember, revenue's down more than half from their peak, so I'd be a seller in Exxon. Sell call spreads.
Dan.
Yeah, well, just real quickly on that point, I mean, listen, you know, we're in this period now where volatility could get a lot cheaper, and I think trades like Mike was talking about make a lot of sense. That being said, I think XLV, when calls are as cheap as they are and you have a directional view, that's one way to play it, define your risk.
All right, looks like our time has expired. I'm Melissa Lee. Thanks so much for watching. For more Options Action, check out the website, optionsaction.cnbc.com. Have a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Mad Money with Jim Cramer is up next.